For Canes fans of a certain age, like myself and Roe, our special guest is a beloved and cherished former player. He played alongside many of the greats, and today he has agreed to come on and tell us all the dirty stories about all of them. He led the Canes in tackles in 1993. He is from a family of royalty. Ladies and gentlemen, the Orange Bowl boys are thrilled to welcome Rohan Marley!
Oh my God, look at him. He looks great. How are you, sir?
Great, man. Greetings from Mexico. I'm in Mexico right now, so nice to chat to you.
Oh, so good. Bro, start us off.
Please, because you don't know how much of a joy and pleasure it is to get a chance to talk to you. So I grew up in South Florida. And you know what? I always played with the bigger guys, Rohan. And I still remember Eric Williams, right? He was a big guy. So when I played, and I make no bones about this, when I played as a little kid, when I was on offense, I was Randall Hill.
Right.
When I was on defense, I was you.
Yeah.
I told everybody I was Rohan Marley. I was number three when I played offense and number two when I played defense. Now I get to talk to you. Yes. So the first question out of the box, because I know when you were a kid, you played for maybe, you know, Sunnyland Optimists. Is that true?
Yeah. So that was my first. I was in the eighth grade. And at the time, you know, I had to weigh like 135 pounds. So I weighed, you know, I could make the weight, but I knew nothing about organized football. The only football I knew how to play was like, I used to ask my uncle, can he throw me the ball, you know, so I could learn how to catch the ball. So I developed good hands, but I knew nothing about the game. I didn't know how to wear pads. I didn't know nothing. Only thing I knew is that I wanted number 83 because I used to love, I still do, Mark Duper and Mark Clayton. And
yeah, there you
go. I was a Dolphins, you know. So I learned the game. I learned the game just playing Atari back then.
Wow, nice.
Yeah. But, man, they benched me. For the first six games, I'm sitting on the bench. Because one day I ran this route. Was like a flag route, you know. And I'm watching the pros, so I learned to catch the ball like over the shoulder, you know, but not turn my head into the sideline. I kept looking inside and put my arms over my left side. They said to me, he don't know what he's doing. I called the ball, but they said, he don't know what he's doing. So I said, all right, no problem. But I learned from the pros. So I had a rough time my first six games. And then they fired the coach, that the offensive coordinator, and they put me in the game. And, man, I went back to my old Jamaican style. You know, we played the game Dandy Shandy, where they couldn't tackle me, you know? So I grew up loving to be a wide receiver. That's the first position I loved, and quarterback. That was my first two positions. So I had a nice, nice time there. They showed me a lot, you know? And then I went on to play high school ball with some of those guys. But I only had to play 1 year because my ninth grade year, I was overweight, well, you know, over 135. So I had to sit out. And then 10th grade, I went to Palmetto. I tried out for quarterback. But I couldn't get the hand under the center thing right. I fumbled the ball all the time. But shotgun, I was great.
You're good. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So you'd be fine in modern day offenses. Yeah. That's all they do is they go to the shotgun. So, you know, talk to me about when did the transition to linebacker happen for you?
You know what happened? 10th grade, they moved me to cornerback because I couldn't play quarterback. They wanted me to play fullback, but I'm like, I'm not playing fullback. I don't want to be a fullback. So they moved me to cornerback on JV. So they used to call me Coconuts, you know, because I'd pick everything off. They said, how do you learn how to do that? You know, catching coconuts. So going into my spring of the 10th grade year, you know, they moved me up to varsity. I never played a down. But moving up to spring ball now, I was working out a lot. So they moved me to strong safety. So wearing helmets, no shoulder pads, and the little running back, he ran a little out route. This time I'm kind of getting the game, you know. He ran a little out route. They threw him the ball, and I popped him. You know? Yeah. Just hit him helmet to helmet. I said, what is he doing? The next day, there is a junior linebacker and a senior linebacker, and I'm the tenth grade guy. So they're one is going to be my grade. I guess they're both older than me. One of the guy hurts his knee, so they said, who are we going to move to linebacker? At the time, my number was number 10 because of Pele. So that was my number. So now when they move me to linebacker, and Coach Solinger, Don Solinger, he just left UM and he was coaching our spring. And they moved me to linebacker. So I said, wait, linebacker? I said, well, all right. Who am I going to look up to at linebacker? At the time, I just used to love, you know, UM, but I also love Byron Bosworth. So I wore number 44.
I don't know if you want to admit that.
Yeah.
No.
Well, there we go.
That's just linebacker. You know, that was just a right then and there, you know?
Yep.
So that was the reason I took number 44, because of Bosworth.
Gotcha.
And every time I would line up next to this guy, he was a senior. It was like 50 Eagle Blasey cover 2. So I used to say to him, where do I line up? And what do I do? he says, go to that gap. The backside A gap. Go to that gap. I got blah, blah, blah. I said, okay. If the play go away from me, if it goes come on your side, you got outside. I said, all right, cool. Every play I made the tackle. So I heard the coach, the tight end coach, who the hell is blocking 44? They didn't even know my name. So as practice went on, the guy says to me, I say, you know, what am I supposed to do on this play? He says, man, you're on your own. So
you were
I started learning, you know, and I became a starting linebacker. My junior year led them in tackles. And my senior year, I took our team to number 14 state, district champions. But I broke my ankle in the district championship game against Miami High because I was also the up man from the punt returner, you know. So if they kick it short, I'm taking it. So I took it. I broke away. And the freaking punter, man, the guy had a little angle on me, and he snapped my ankle.
Ooh.
Well, I hopped off the field. You know, ran to the sidelines. I said, Coach, take me up. They taped me up like they put a cast on my... This is when I really had to take it serious, you know? They put a cast on my leg. I went back out there, lined up, and the I just remember, this is the first time I ever felt like this. Just remember this offensive lineman just running me over. And I was on one leg, you know? So I said, man... So for after that, I started to take it like really serious. You know, Coach Lubick, they moved into the neighborhood. When Bryce Erickson would go to Palmetto, Sonny Lubick, his son, went to summer school at UM with me. I'm sorry, I think I went to the camp and I met him and we became really close friends. So Coach Lubick really looked out for me, and they offered me a scholarship. You know, I remember going through all these things and get these little situations happening. I just remember one thing one day, man, Howard University. I didn't want to go to Howard, but the offensive tackle that played at my school, he went there. So he's like, hey, man, you should, you know, think about Howard. It's a blah, blah, blah. I say, okay, yeah. So I took my first visit to Miami. I only got offered to Miami and Howard. So I remember playing basketball in the gym, and I got a call from the athletic director. She's like, you have a phone call. It's a coach from Howard, you know, defensive coordinator. It's like, hey, Ruan, you know, I know you were supposed to come tomorrow, but I'm sorry, but we don't have a spot for you. But we can get you into a JUCO. I say, a JUCO? I say, what's a JUCO? So, you know, it's a good school. And I say, you know what? I'm okay. I'm all right.
Mm-hmm.
So I only had an offer from Miami. And, you know, I passed my SATs. The last chance I had, I took it again, passed it, got a nice little score, and I got into UM. And that was kind of my journey, just like really loving the game, you know what I mean? And then getting close with some of the UM players, because Robert Bailey was the first guy to take me on the campus. You know, he's Jamaican, and I used to hang out, you know, around, and then you know who's Jamaican. So I became really close with Robert Bailey, and he would take me up to the campus. I remember one time walking into an apartment, and it was Curtis Kennedy, Russell Maryland, and Randy Shannon. Randy Shannon just played, was playing for Dallas, and I think I can't recollect which one was older, Cortez or Russ. I think Russell told me Cortez was older, I think. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But one of them was the first pick the draft before, on the first round, first pick. Who was that? Was that Russell or Cortez?
Cortez for Seattle. I believe that would be Cortez in Seattle.
Cortez, Russell, right? So yeah. I remember walking in the room, and I saw Cortez and Russell. I don't know if Randy just worked them out, but you're talking about they were like, out, like this. So I'm like, wow. You know what I mean? So they was working really, really hard in the summer, you know? And that kind of inspired me, man. And then I just always loved Miami. I used to tell Anthony Hamlet, because I'd go to the nightclub, you know, I was out in the streets. I used to tell Anthony Hamlet that I'm coming to Miami. I'm coming to Miami. He's like, hey, what you talking about? He said, what position you play? I say, linebacker. He said, linebacker? Where you play linebacker at?
Yeah. Oh, and you definitely did play linebacker. That's for sure. Like in the intro, and Toast said it, you led the team in tackles one time. There's one play in particular I want to ask you about. So you're on the road. You're playing Boston College, right? Do you remember the running back number 30, David Green, and what you did to him?
Yeah.
So was that the hardest you've ever tackled somebody? Because his helmet fell off.
Well, let me tell you. All right, back then, my goal was to knock your helmet off, right? That was like a thing for me. Like, that was like big for me, you know? Like, I knocked his helmet off, you know? But I remember Boston College. Jesse and Michael and Darren, they left school now, so I'm starting. It's my first game starting. And it's kickoff. Kickoff. So I'm not on the kickoff. I'm not playing in special teams because I wanted to stay fresh. So I'm like, gee whiz, the field is huge. I'm like, it had like a little mound, you know? And I'm looking at the green turf. I'm like, wow. And I'm like, you're up next. There's no Jesse. I mean, it's like you're on an island. Mm-hmm. So I just said, you know what? Man, just play full speed, man, and just do your thing, you know? Because, of course, I can play the game, but there was no Jesse. There was no, like, you know, it's on me now.
It's all you, yeah.
All me, man. I remember that I tried to kill him. I mean, like, take part of my language, but I played to try it. Like, I wanted to, like, rip his head off, you know? And that guy, and how I used to get into the game, my first play, like, to get me in my first play, whatever the play is, I'm going to hit the lineman. I'm going to hit him straight in the face. The first play, I'm crashing him. So my eyes can run water, my nose run, you know. And I said, yo, it's going to be all day like that. So that was my thing to get in the game, just to crash people, you know. So that was my one of my nicest tackles, I think. I mean, I like the one I bust up Kristen. I had a few of them. I bust up Kristen Fourier. Yeah, but my favorite college play, I will tell you, I didn't make the tackle, but it was a play against Colorado. And I just felt sweet, you know. Lineman, I was fighting off the receiver, and then the lineman, he came and he tried to cut me, and I remember like doing like this roll like on my seat, you know. But I didn't mean to tackle, but that's my favorite play. It's like, I like that I was able to stay in the play, even, you know. That was my favorite college play, tell you the truth.
Question for you. So, because I know obviously you grew up in South Florida, but you obviously spent time over in the islands. How do they feel about American football over there? When you said you're playing football, did they assume you're playing soccer? And then you know I'm tackling people? Like, how is it perceived over there?
Well, first of all, back then, we only had some coffee. Yeah. We had only if you had a satellite.
Okay.
You know? And only games. Like the Jamaicans that came to abroad knew about it. They knew nothing about the game. No, they're just now like, run, play football, you know. Like, it wasn't like that. But some guys have a satellite like five people. Mm-hmm. You know? So it wasn't a thing. I just learned it because when I came to America, I came up in the sixth grade, and I learned from, like I said, we'd do kickball. They played this game, kickball, and I was like good at kickball, but you also had to throw the ball, and I was good. Sure. I had a good arm too. I tried out for being a pitcher my 10th grade, my 10th grade year. I played JV pitcher. So I learned how to play just by playing with those kids playing flag football every day, and my Uncle Richie throwing me the ball and Anthony. So I just learned from the boys around. And then I was close with Michael Otar, which is a cousin of our bro that passed away, bless his heart, from the safety there, Sean Taylor.
Oh, yes.
I grew up around his family. So they taught me a lot, you know. Michael Otar, he taught me a lot about football because he played for South Dade and he were number one. So back then, football to me was like about styling, you know. So I learned from like the guys, you know. And then at Palmetto, the guys, they from Pirine, I would, you know, I'd go hang out in the hood and play in the park with those guys. And they were so competitive and, you know, playing the basketball. And I just learned the game from them. You know, they taught me a lot. Those guys taught me a lot about football.
So, Rohan, this comes actually from our title sponsor, but I guess there's a rumor. Did you have any special game day traditions on what you wore under your jersey?
Yeah.
Did you ever miss a kickoff because of it?
Yeah. I had a shirt that I found in a box at my grandmother's house, but it was my dad's shirt. It says, "Tribute to Robert Nesta Marley, OM," but it was a shirt from 1981. So I cut it in half, and I wore it all through high school. The one game I didn't wear that shirt is the game I broke my ankle.
Wow.
So we're playing, I don't know who, Virginia Tech or somebody, and I forget my shirt in my on campus. I remember a state trooper, he had to go get it.
Oh, wow.
that's the best. Awesome.
He had to go and get that shirt. And, the one game, it happened to me twice. And the one game I didn't wear that shirt, I had an MCL injury. The only, the twice when I never wore that shirt, I got injured.
Wow.
So that orange shirt is like my life. Yeah, that one I wore under every single game of my career since I've known myself to play football. A tribute to the king, Robert Nesta Marley, my daddy.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah. And awesome. On my socks, I would always, you know, I wear my socks long up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'll always wear right Ja and then Rastafari on the other socks. I remember Coach E says to me one day, he's like, "Rohan, Nike wants to know what's on your socks." I said, "God bless." But everybody thinks to write "God bless" on their wrist. I'm like, "God bless." Because there's my Jarastafari on top of their swoosh, you know?
They didn't know.
Oh, man.
All right, so I'm going to put you in a time machine, all right?
Yeah.
You're going to be in a time machine, and you're playing this week. You're starting at linebacker against University of Virginia. I got two questions. Before the game, in your House of Marley headphones, what are you listening to?
My father.
Your father? Yes. Okay, that was an easy question. And then the follow-up to that is, how many tackles do you have that game?
Well, I'm going to do well, who are we playing? Virginia?
Virginia, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I want to get 18. I'm going for 18, man. It's a stat game.
Yeah.
I'm going for 18. But let me tell you one story before the games, though, what we used to do. So my first year, my first roommate was Jesse Armstead. And, you know, we both play Willie linebackers. He's one, I'm two. After Jesse leaves, the roommate I have is Ray Lewis. So I'm his senior. So I remember Ray walked in one day. We go to the Don Shula Hotel, and Ray walks into the room, you know, and I'm on the bed. I'm already in the room. It's too, you know, we're sharing a room. He walks in, he drops his bag, and he starts to head through the door. I said, "Hey," I said, where are you going? He said, what do you mean where I'm going? He said, I'm going to go play cards with the guys. I said, no. We got a game tomorrow. I said, come back here, man. So I said, listen to this. So I put my father and my headphones on and my dad's music. He listens a little bit. He says, you know, Ro, why don't we listen to reggae? I say, just listen to the words, man. Just listen to the words. He said, all right. Listen. I calmed him down a little bit. I said, all right, here, read this. So I gave him the Bible. He says, yeah. I said, yeah, read that. This way, you know. He started reading the Bible. He says, all right, here's what we're going to do. He said, he tells me, you get the mind, I got the body. So we would read the Bible. And then he'll take out a deck of cards and he'll flip the card. And every card, you know, that we do push-ups. So that was our routine before every game when we were roommates. So that, and he's, I mean, Ray, you know, obviously, you know, the king, the king of linebackers in the pros, though.
Yeah.
He's second to me. Yeah. He got it.
Well, actually, you know, the first time I saw Ray Lewis, I was on a recruiting trip and you had already graduated. So I just went into the locker room and I just remember looking at Ray Lewis and I was like, oh, you're Ray Lewis?
Yeah.
Oh, you're not so tough.
You're not so big. Tall. Yeah.
And look at him. Look at him. Look at me.
Right? No, I tell you, I mean, I have to commend, like, the guys that I played with, man, and the years now today to see them continue to, you know, be great at what they are doing. I mean, it's amazing. And we have like a nice group chat of the brotherhood, you know, because we come together for our brothers, whether in any need, you know, health and wellness, you know, we're always there for the brothers. So we have like a beautiful Canes brotherhood chat group. And it's really nice to be in touch with the brothers because we really sweat and cry together, man, on that field because, you know, orange and green, we bleed that. And for us, being a Hurricane, it's everything. It's the greatest college football team ever created in the history of mankind. You know what I mean? I don't see a school like UM. We're football players. I mean, there's a lot of guys that have done their graduation and degrees, which is a good thing. But we go to that school to play football first. And of course, we have to follow the curriculum and go through the school process. But we go to Miami to be champions. And we don't think about anything else but a national championship. We don't think about district. We don't think about I forget what they call them now. Like when you play with a conference. We don't want to win a conference. We want the title, you know?
Yeah. Agreed.
So you talked about all the amazing teammates that you've had. Looking back now, is there one that you are closest with to this day?
Yeah. I'm still close with Ray, still close with Sab. I'm Edrin James, one of my close friends. Edrin comes to my house all the time. We play a lot of chess. I'm close with almost.
Have you been to his club?
A lot of players, man. We are
Have you
close.
Been to Edge's club?
Not yet.
Well,
of course.
He came back and said, yeah. Well, you know, we just
the one.
You know,
of course, we know the one.
Prior to COVID, believe it or not, this is a true story. We had it set up. We were going to go into his establishment and we were going to do a show, and he was all about it. And then COVID shut it down. We were like, oh, we were so upset.
No,
so pissed. There was another guy. I don't know. Just some random name, Dwayne Johnson. Was there anything?
Say with Dewey. We call him Dewey. Dewey. The Rock. Yeah, you know what? I mean, proud of that brother, man. I mean, his work ethic is beyond measure. You know, you can't even compare him. I mean, of course, as an athlete, Ray Lewis is one of the greatest workers I know. You know what I mean? As far as what he has done with his career, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. I mean, wow. You know what I mean? Wow. He really used his platform and elevated himself. You know what I mean? From playing in the CFL and then getting into his real thing with wrestling and getting into acting. It's a lot of hard work he put in, you know, and he didn't get anything handed to him. You know what I mean? He worked You know how he talks. He works his butt off.
He works like a hurricane. He works like a hurricane.
Yeah, very true. And it's like, and I think in the back of his mind, I think that's his drive, because as a Kane, the competition is the person sitting right next to you. You know what I mean? So it's not the one outside the room. So it's almost like we, and then again, we're a team. So we're competing with ourselves to become a greater self. Well, you have such a great mirror to look at every day at UM with all greats, you know? So it was great, man, to see those guys go so hard. And then today, look at this man. This man's like a, he's like a figurine. You know?
Yeah.
He's like a statue. A G.I. Joe, one of those G.I. Joe characters.
Well, I think he did that movie too, Rohan. I think he's done all that.
Yeah. In a few movies.
So I got another question. You had a peculiar nickname in college, right?
Yeah.
That's why I don't want to bring it up, because I don't know if you like it. But, like,
no, I love it. I love it. The Coach Tuberville, he called me when I first, when they moved me to linebacker. I mean, you know, remember at Miami, they had me at cornerback again. Spring ball, they called me to the office and says, Rohan, we're moving to outside linebacker. I said, yep, I'm fourth string. I'm like, whoa. I said, okay, no problem. So I go in the locker room. I get this tape. You know, it was like a tradition from Derek Golden. Whenever, you know, he passed it on to me, the tape. He says, Ro, he gave me the tape. And I made a tail. So all my practice jersey, I had a tail, you know. It's a lion tail for me now, but, you know, obviously. They call me the rat. But because like an inside run, I'm like, I'm there. So they couldn't block me. So Coach Tuberville gave me that nickname, the rat. I had a bracelet. I embraced it, the rat, you know. I didn't know that later on the rat was like a rat. So now I went to the office and I changed my name. The lion.
Yeah. You played like a lion. You definitely didn't play like a rat. That's
well,
definitely
they say cool. I move like a rat, but I hit you like a lion, you know?
There you go. Some of the linebackers today, just real current, I just want your take on it, because I would consider you an expert on it. But what's like the premier trait that a linebacker has to have?
Well, like, this is something I know from Ray Lewis. You know, I mean, remember, I've been away from the game a long time, but I speak to Ray all the time. And these are things that we spoke on to each other while he played the game. I would give him these words, too, you know, same that he gives me today. But to be a linebacker, you know, you have to have the king spirit. You have to be king at heart. You have to be a lion, you know, and you have to be really intelligent, you know, but you have to be ferocious. You have to want to. You got to be the strongest on the team. You got to be the craziest on the team. And you got to want to run through walls. You know, you got to want to run through walls when you're a linebacker. Like, so the mentality for a linebacker, you got to be quick. You got to be smart. But you got to be an animal.
Maniac.
You got to be a maniac. Like, you got to be a maniac. And the trick for that is, you know, study film. Study the film. Knowing your tendencies, study film. So when you know what you're doing, you can play at full speed, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
So you're not guessing, you know? So get that out of the way. So when game time come, we just want to knock people out. So
knock their helmets off.
That's the linebacker mentality. We don't knock guys out of the game. Yeah.
Suit them up for Virginia. I'm convinced. Suit them up,
right?
We need them.
I'm gonna need a double ankle wrap though.
We'll get you a tail too. Whatever. Yeah. We'll be right at home. We'll get you a Russell Athletic jersey. They haven't been Russell Athletic or Nike.
So
vintage.
When we go ahead and we look at the guys you played with over your entire career, some serious characters and personalities. I got to think there were some serious pranks and jokes that went on in that locker room. And that was what Scoop wanted to know. What's the biggest prank you ever had or saw in a teammate?
Let's see. Let me think. There's certain things you can't really talk about. You know?
No, you can't talk about it all.
No, I'm kidding. All right. They I mean, when you're a rookie, you get a lot of beatings, you know. They tie you up on the post. they throw a garbage bucket of ice on you. They tie you up. I mean, they tie you up, man. Those vets, they tie you up. They basically tie you up and like in an ice bucket.
Oh God.
You know, nothing too crazy, but they rough you up as a rookie.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm speechless, Toast.
All right, so Ro, so listen, I don't know how, I mean, obviously you're in Mexico right now. I don't know how much of this Canes team you've been able to watch this year and last year, but how do you feel about Manny, A, as the head coach? And listen, we all know that we want to get back to the way this team was when you were playing. And we, you know, Cane fans have crazy high expectations because, as you said, we're the best in the world. We're the best program in the world, and that's what we expect. So how do you feel about Manny and what he's doing right now, and how do you feel about this team this year?
I must tell you that since I've left college, this is the closest I've felt to the team, the closest I've felt to the coaching staff. I mean, I really love this staff. They're really, I mean, what we love about coach is that we love a player's coach, you know, and Coach Manny is he's that guy. And I mean, he's that guy, man, because I think that as a youth, you want someone that cares about you and cares about the game as much as you do, but you also want that passion for the game and also someone to protect you, you know? So that's a player's coach, man. And Manny Diaz has just been that guy. And I've never felt this much closer to the program as I have. I just feel really close. And I like that he's bringing some of us back to the university. You know, Ed Reed is there, which, I mean, you're talking about a super mind as a defensive player. So it's nice that we have a Manny Diaz and a coaching staff that he has today. You know, I mean, all the guys, I mean, they are really, really players coach, and they're fun, you know? And it's about winning, man. But the only way we can win, we gotta have fun doing it. You know what I mean? And that's the only way we can get up and do it every day, because we're having fun. And I think Manny brings that type of enthusiasm to the players. And because he's youthful too, you know, and you see him in practice, he's there, he's in it, you know, he's on the field, you know. So we love that about Manny. We love his passion for the game. And we're truly happy that we have Manny Diaz on board and the head coach of the University of Miami, and us as former players. I'm not a former player. I'm still a player.
Yes. Well, you're starting this week. We told you.
Yeah. Don't call me a former player. That's the worst thing you can say to me, even to myself. No, but as alumni and Hurricane at heart and always a Hurricane, we truly love where the program is heading. And, I mean, especially what we did with Florida State. I mean, Clemson is a game we learned from. It's a game that, because obviously we had a couple of things that, you know, set us back in Clemson. But we know we can beat those guys because we have the talent. And we proved that, you know, the following week. We regrouped and we did what we had to do, you know what I mean? And that's what resiliency is, you know? We're just getting started, you know? With COVID and all these different things and all the obstacles that Coach Manny had to face, he still is able to have us ranked up top now, you know? And now we should be ranked higher because, you know, it's just, we should be. You lose to the number one team, they don't drop you out of there, and we beat the team that, you know what I mean, you know, all this politics, but we should be up there. And I believe that we're like a top five team right now.
All right, so let me ask you this.
I'm excited about Coach Manny.
So obviously since football, you have blossomed into just much, football doesn't confine you. You have gone on to become, you're a musician, you're an entrepreneur, you've got charities. What is the big thing that is the focus of your life today?
Well, right now, you know, I'm a part of this great group in Mexico, a hotel group, the TM group, and they have a few resorts called the Fires Hotel, and they partner with me to create the Romali Beach House. So right now, my focus is really on this property here that I'm presently. And, you know, we have the beach club, a hotel, and it's a 92 rooms. It's, a you know, in Puerto Morelos, the old fishing village. I look across from the second largest reef right there in the world. It's a beautiful place to go. And then Mexico with all the energy, you know, the pyramids and the ancient Mayan empire and the Olmec, you know, the vibes that's here, it's beautiful. So I'm happy about where I am today, which is working on the beach.
Well, I'll tell you what, you just said that, and I am now all of a sudden, my brain is going crazy, and I'm thinking that in the next, once all this COVID stuff goes away, I'm thinking we're going to set up a Orange Bowl Boys come-along trip.
You know what?
That resort in Mexico.
We can do that.
Do a broadcast down there and have some fun for a week.
Why not? Let's do that every single day.
He showed me the view. He showed me the view. He's like, hey, I'm in Mexico. Wait, it's right there. And I was like, there it is. There's all the.
There you go.
Oh, look at that. Oh.
There you go. You see?
Yeah. That don't suck.
Yeah, and over there, and over yonder.
Yes, oh, so good, so good. My,
never mind, you don't have to start against Virginia this week. Right. You can stay there.
Yeah,
you can stay there.
It's a stat game, Coach. I can take this one off.
It's a stat game. It's a stat game. Fantastic.
Oh, well, listen,
that,
man.
You know what, for us, you know,
yes,
that's the mentality at UM, right? Like, we don't care who we're playing. I mean, we care when we play Florida State. You know, for one, because we're always 1-2 back then, you know. But games like this, we go, stat game. We go in with a chip on our shoulder. We're going in to dominate, you dig? It's, for us, we build up these stats. Let's go. We, no mistakes. Like, this is the game when we're just going and show who we are. You know what I mean? So this is that game. So I say stat game because.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I like it.
Yeah, hell yes. We love that.
We play to win.
Yeah.
We know we come to win. That's just the bottom line. We ain't got nothing else thinking about, you know what I mean?
we've all picked big this week. We expect the Canes to continue offensively to score in the 40s. We're going to hold them, I think, to their average, well, a little less than their average, probably in the teens or 20s. So we're expecting a big win for the Canes this week. And it looks like you're on board with that, too. So
yeah,
it's a stat game.
Trust
it's
me.
It's a stat game.
We can do it. And the King, you know, I mean, I like his composure. I really like his composure. And I really do. I like that he bounced back. And, you know, he's really a good winner. You know, he's a good quarterback.
He's a leader.
He's a really a good leader. And I love that about him. He's a winner, too. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel that, you know, I feel that in him. He's a winner, you know. I feel that he can take the game on, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, we're used to that. You know what I mean? We're used to the dominant player like that. We're used to these guys, you know what I mean? So it's nice to see us return to that. And it's important to be able to get the ball to your guys. And he's, I mean, that one game, I don't remember which game was. I think he hit 15 different receivers. Yeah. You know, I don't know.
That was Florida State. Yep. He hit 9 different receivers in the first quarter. Because all of them were open.
That's big for us.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, we enjoyed it.
It's a great feeling when we do that, you know?
my goodness.
That one is like, let's get us pumping, you know?
Rohan, quick question for you, because your dad's music was so impactful to me when I was growing up, and I was just curious, the kids now, is it still transcend and speak to them the way it spoke to kids that are our age?
I think that with like the accessibility to the social networking and all these different things, there's so much going on, but I really feel like there are kids that are still getting penetrated with this positive message, you know, because we still get the love.
Sure, and that's it. Yep.
You see it. So I believe so. And
that is awesome.
And fathers like us, we play the music for our children, and, you know, and it's nice. And then the younger generation, you know, like Skip Marley, Johan Marley, you know, Joseph Marley, all of the younger Marleys, Daniel Marley. They all have music out there, you know, the younger Marleys, the younger generation, and they have music out there, and they have good music out there, and
yes, they do.
Music out there, you know, so they hold on to the fire, and they continue to carry the mantle, which is great, because they have to be leaders of their generation too, you know, just like we try to do as their elders, you know, not elders, but just a little older.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, man, while you may always be the rat to your former teammates, you're always going to be the lion to us, all right?
That's the
lion. Ladies and gentlemen, the Orange Bowl boys are so thrilled. Rohan Marley, thank you very much, bro. Oh, love you so much, bro. Yes, give it to you.
Bless and love. Thank you.
Brother, thank you so much for giving us this much time. We really appreciate it. You, God peace to you, man. Very good. Very good stuff.
You, baby.
All right. You have a great, great day at that resort.
Listen, look.
Take care, bro. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Bro.
So good.
That was so awesome.
So good.
That was so awesome.
So good.
Bro, that was like the most infectious dude of all time.
Oh, my God. The positivity just spewing out of the screen at you. The smile. He lights up a virtual meeting.
He would literally cure depression.
Right? Like,
how does that gentleman not cure depression? All you got to do is be on a conference call for 30 minutes. You start smiling like crazy. He's just such an animated. I'm telling you, and it wasn't puffery. I mean, I legitimately would say, and you guys have known me for a long time, you knew that Randall Hill was my guy, and we got him on the early, like one of the earlier episodes, episode 5, I believe. And then like 100 episodes later, I would get my all time. And now you could see why, you know, you could just see, I mean, it's for his positive and his nice and he could cure depression. When he was on a football field, he was a manimal, an absolute
And I'm so glad that he feels closer to the program now than he has since he left. That is awesome. Because someone like him needs to have access to the program. He needs to show up there occasionally and talk to these kids. And not because of what his last name is. You could call him O'Brien. Just because of the positive, infectious personality and the love that he spreads. Just so, so good. So, that was awesome, Ro. I'm so glad we booked that. You made my Friday. I'm in such a good freaking mood now.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go Call of Duty and shoot some people.
And good luck with your tournament tomorrow.
Thank you, bro. All right, so we will listen, we got Virginia happening tomorrow night. So don't forget, there will be a recap drop happening at some point on Sunday, probably around noonish or whatever. So there you go, man. Bro, kick-ass job. Dude. You did a great job booking that interview. And
me too. Thank you.
As always, go Canes!
Hey, yo. Yes!